Well, if you thought you, in the quiet of the morning, you heard the archangels chanting their songs of joy, you were right, because Greek Club has returned. If you had felt an interruption in the space-time continuum since the beginning of August, you were right, because Greek Club was gone. But now we're back, and we are broadcasting from Homiletical Tower here on the beautiful campus of Concordia Seminary, Expository Tower. Because we just heard a very fine expository sermon. It was a little long. I'm the chairman. I'll make sure it doesn't get long like that in the weeks to come. But from Professor Tom Egger on Malachi chapter 1. And so if you need, just go online to the Concordia website, and you can find the newest hot bumper sticker, which simply reads, "Jacob I loved, Esau I hated," right? And Yeah, it was creative, yeah. Imagine that, creative. So, so we are reading in 2 Corinthians, and we have lots, all kinds of faces, including some new faces here at Concordia Seminary. And just to review, our process is we kind of walk through stuff. I read it and try to pretend I know what I'm doing. And then questions or comments are welcome. We try to avoid theology because then we wouldn't get anywhere, right, Josh? We have a good time with grammar and syntax. Here they come. Well, see, it's early in the term. Nobody has anything due yet. Yeah, this is great. Oh, man, look at this. That's right. Yeah, here you go. Here's a chair, you guys. Yep. So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I think we're just going to start at verse, 4, sort of verse 4. I looked on iTunes and you need a chair, man. Oh, you got one. Okay, good. There you go. All right, so if we just get a little bit of a running start, I think we read verse 4 in the summer. And, of course, Paul is now, the chronology is very interesting, actually, of how many trips Paul made to Corinth and how many letters he's written and all that kind of stuff. Verse 3, maybe if we can just get a running start, Paul says, "I wrote this very thing, lest coming I might have grief from those who were," this is kind of a loose translation, "supposed to make me glad," or concerning whom I was supposed to be glad, if Matt is the subject of the infinitive there. "Persuaded also about all of you, that my joy is yours." And then verse 4, "For out of much tribulation and distress of heart I wrote to you." Now, remember, Paul is referring to the so-called sorrowful letter, which, if we had to label it, would be Corinthians C. It's in between 1 and 2 Corinthians. We don't have a copy of it. We likely don't. "Through many tears, not that you might be grieved, or that you might grieve, rather that," and we notice this, I remember, this is how I remembered where we left off, we have kind of an accusative, see that, "rather the love." Now, what Paul has actually done there to emphasize love is he's pulled it out of the clause where it belongs and fronted it. This is called prolepsis. It's a way of being emphatic. The love there, tain agapein, is actually the direct object of the verb in the henna clause that follows. So if you did it literally, it would be rather the love that you might know. But for a smoother translation, and since we have fonts and italics and stuff, I mean, it would actually be valid to translate that you might know the love _, right, or bold or something like that, "which we have more abundantly unto you." And that gets us kind of a running start. So we'll just pick up at verse 5. Which might conceivably sound something like this: "E de tis lelipeken, uk emet lelipeken, ala apamerus hiname epibaro, pantas humas." Short sentence there. A conditional sentence. A plus in this case, the perfect indicative. Lelipeken is a great form. Because even if you can't remember that lupeo means to grieve, you can see the duplication on the front and the kappa at the end of the stem, right? This is from lupeo, which is a transitive verb. It means to grieve somebody, right? And it's a third singular with the movable nu, right? So Tis is the subject, the indefinite pronoun. But if someone has grieved, and then Paul sort of suspends a direct object because of, he wants to kind of draw this out with them. Not me he has grieved. Eme is the slightly emphatic form of the personal pronoun, an accusative singular. Not me has he grieved. Allah, rather, apa merus. Now, ameros is a part or a portion, and apa merus is a third declension noun. So this is the merus looks, you know, if you're kind of sleepy, it looks like an accusative plural, but it's not. It's a genitive singular, and apa plus, it's an idiom. It sort of means in part or something like this. And I know this because I looked it up in the lexicon. That's how you know stuff, is you look it up in the lexicon, right? Yeah, but not Bob's Lexicon and Auto Mechanics. I mean, I'm talking BDAC or Liddell and Scott or something like that. That's right. So my motto, if it's online, it's probably worthless. I know that's an overstatement, but I spent all that money on books. I just want you to suffer in the same way, Aaron, that I have suffered. So rather, in part, in order, now this is kind of a parenthetical comment, hiname, lest, epibareo means to to be heavy. This is kind of an idiom that apparently means lest I say too much, lest I heap too many words up on you. It's kind of an awkward phrase, and the commentators actually sort of disagree as to how precisely to render it, but we'll just take it that way. Lest I heap up too much, lest I say too much. Now the accusative, which reaches back to the verb la lupe ken. So whoever grieved somebody, he didn't grieve me, Paul says. He grieved pantas humas, all you. Right? And now he'll move into the discussion of how do you deal with the opponent or the adversary that Paul had to deal with primarily in the so-called sorrowful letter. Right? And it's a very well-known passage because it's Paul's talking about, okay, affirm your love for him and don't punish him too severely and that kind of thing. So a little bit of an awkward phrase and a little bit of a difficult parenthetical comment in this hina clause, but otherwise pretty straightforward. Questions or comments about this verse? Yeah, I brought my notes where I looked them up in bag. So, okay. All right. Very good. Verse 6. Hikanon to toi uto he epitimia haute he hipa ton ple anon. And we'll keep going in verse 7 to get a complete sentence. Hosta tunan te'an malon humas karisasthai kai parakalesai me pos te perisotera lipe katapathe ha toi utas. Now, you know, if you're feeling a little rusty here in Greek, just remember Gibbs' rule, pars or die, right? I mean, you just have to figure this out, and it just takes practice, okay? Now, hikanon is an adjective, and it means enough or sufficient. And you may notice that there's no verb between the beginning of the verse and the comma. And you're just supposed to know, because you've read Greek for many years, that hikanon, or hikanos by itself, is kind of an idiom. It is sufficient. It is enough. You don't need the verb. Okay? And what's enough? Well, now we look for a nominative subject, and we've got it, right? He epitimia, which means punishment. Now, let's modify punishment. First of all, we'll put the demonstrative pronoun haute in predicate position, which is intensifying. If it were in attributive position, it would mean same. But here it means the punishment itself or the very punishment or something like that. And now let's further modify punishment, which again is the subject of the clause, the nominative subject, by putting the article, repeat the article, and we'll put a prepositional phrase after it. Which punishment? The punishment itself. Which punishment itself? The by the pleanon punishment. And pleanon is, just to make you unhappy, the comparative adjective of polus, which means much. This means more. the more guys. It's by the more guys. And so, you know, you take a deep breath and you think, gee, maybe this means the majority. And the answer is, bing, bing, bing. Lewis, that's exactly what it means. And you were, I could tell you were guessing that because you had that look on your face, and I've seen that look before. So now let's put this, and then we have a dative towards the beginning, a correlative pronoun. Toi utas means such a person. Okay. Now we'll start with the subject. The punishment itself, which was by the majority, is hikanon, sufficient. Now, in relation to, or you might even, I suppose, translate it as a dative of disadvantage, since we're talking about punishment, against such a one. Now, the sentence continues, hosta plus infinitives, which expresses result, right? With the result that, verse 7 is a word that you have to look up. It means, on the other hand, right? I looked it up. With the result that, on the other hand, malon rather, humas, accusative pronoun, subject of the infinitives. See, we've had easy going. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 was pretty easy. This is actually pretty hard, okay? Especially if you're feeling a little rusty. With the result that, on the other hand, rather, you forgive. This is from charizomai, which can mean to freely bestow, but it can also have the meaning of forgive, and that's the way it's translated here. With the result that rather you forgive and parakalesai, from parakaleo, aorist infinitive active. Charizomai, by the way, is deponent, has an active meaning. And here parakaleo probably means something like encourage. It's kind of a flexible verb, but probably does not mean exhort, but rather encourage. And now we have me pos, which is a negative purpose, lest. Now we look for the verb, and we're going to expect a subjunctive, and that's what we get. Katapathe, this is from katapino, which means to swallow up. And you can see the theta eta ending, and so you might just guess in your heart of hearts that it's an aorist passive form, and it is. It's the aorist subjunctive passive third singular from katapino. And the subject is ha toi utas, such a one. All right? Then we have a dative noun, te perisatera lipe. Perisatera is the comparative. It means more abundant. And it's dative, and we'll try on, there's a number of different ways you could go, but one of the grammars at least suggested a causal force, which is one of the things that dative nouns can have. And so we'll put that me post clause together, lest such a one be swallowed up because of more abundant grief. Okay? Now, let's go back and do all of verses 6 and 7 because it's kind of a sentence. The punishment itself, which was by the majority, is sufficient for or against such a person. It's sufficient, and here's the result that Paul wants. With the result that, on the other hand, rather you forgive and encourage, lest such a one be swallowed up because of a greater or more abundant grief. So one of the great things about 1 and 2 Corinthians is you kind of see the pastoral side of Paul, if I could say it that way. You know, Lutherans love Galatians. Rah, 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 sis, boom, bah, take no prisoners, right? But in 1 Corinthians, Paul is actually very patient, and you see this in sometimes the agony that he has in dealing with these. Well, I think the Corinthians were basically Germans. I think that's their problem. And so names like, well, Lefebvre, that's not even close to Germany. You're probably from Alsace-Lorraine, though, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, so, yeah. Questions about verse 6 and 7? What's Polzine? Is that like Francais or something, Lewis?
I think North Polish.
Okay, that's good. Jesus loves you too, right? You didn't listen to the chapel sermon, did you? Any questions on 6 and 7? That was a little difficult, actually. Word order was a little challenging. You had some interesting constructions. And you had to look stuff up in the lexicon. Right? At least I did. So, and then you bring your notes with you, so you look smart. Okay, verse 8. And we'll do 8 and 9 together. Dia para kalo humas kirosai ace auton agapin. Ace tutagar kai egrapsa. Hinagno tain dokimein humon, e eis panta hip e ka oi este. Dia, therefore, parakalo. You're thinking, could it be that easy? Yes! Present indicative active, first person singular from parakaleo. Notice how you probably remember this, you never actually see the uncontracted forms of the epsilon contract or alpha contract. They're always contracted, and this is just... It could be a subjunctive, but it is actually just the present indicative. Therefore, I exhort you, kirao means to confirm or establish. And it's the aorist subjunctive active. I exhort you to confirm unto him love. And the antecedent of auton is such a one in the prior sentence, right? Whoever this guy was, he was apparently one of the main adversaries that was opposing Paul, occasioned the sorrowful letter, and now the congregations, small house churches, or we don't exactly know what's going on, have sided with Paul against this guy, right? And what Paul is trying to now say to them, look, he's repented, it's time to forgive, it's time to restore, right? So I exhort you to confirm unto him love, verse 9, unto this four, remember that gar is post-positive, so it's, you put it never put it first in its clause. For unto this, kai also egrapsa, I wrote, in order that, now we have, this is a great form, gno, which is from ginosko. It's the aorist subjunctive active, first person singular. Yeah, first person singular. In order that I might know, tain dokimein humon. Dokimei here probably means character. The character of you. Your character. And now A is our little friend if. But in when it's kind of introducing indirectly a matter or a question, it can be translated whether. Whether, W-H-E-T-H-E-R, whether, ace panta, unto all things, oh, finally we have a verb, esta, you are, and because it's the linking verb, the adjective is in the nominative case, it's a predicate nominative, hip e ka oi, which you might be able to guess means obedient. And so putting together that sentence, again, verse 8, therefore I exhort you to confirm love for him, for also I wrote for this thing or for this purpose, in order that I might know your character, plural, your character, whether in all things you are obedient. Okay, questions, comments. Why did Paul have to write in Greek instead of Latin, which would have been God's clearer choice, right? I said that because we got some Latinists here in the crowd. So, okay, good. Silence means agreement or complete confusion. We'll continue then with verse 10. Relative pronoun. Hot ho de te charizeste kago. Kai gar ego ha kecharismai e te kecharismai de humas en prosopo Christu. And I guess we'll get the hina clause in here too. Hina me pleonekte thomen hippa tu satana. Ugar autu ta na emata agna umen. So, verse 10. To whom and, or let's see. Yeah, probably and. De is post-positive. And to whom you, plural, forgive te something, the accusative indefinite pronoun, kago, from kai plus ego, also I. Now Paul explains that. Gar, for also, I, which I have forgiven, if something I have forgiven, on account of you in the face of Christ. It's a literal translation. And then we'll get all the way to the end of the verse and go back and clean up a little bit. Lest, hiname, we be outwitted. Pleonekteo means to take advantage of, outwit, defraud. Lest we be defrauded by the Satan. For we are not ignorant. The verb is at the very end of the verse. And a na'ema is a plan or a design, and autu is fronted. For we are not ignorant of the plans or the designs of him. Okay, let's see. Now, we have kind of some parenthetical comments in verse 10. At least that's the way it's normally translated. For instance, in the gar clause, when Paul says, for also I, now sort of parenthesis, the thing which I have forgiven, this would be the perfect of charizomai. You can, perfect passive, there's no connecting vowel, it's one of the signs, plus the duplication on the front. That which I have forgiven, parentheses, if something I have forgiven, then you have to repeat, I have forgiven de humas, on account of you, plural. Paul is, this is one of the major themes in 1 Corinthians, right, is what does it mean to be the body? What does it mean to be the church? 1 Corinthians, as you know, after the Thanksgiving starts off with, there's divisions among you, right? And so Paul's, and now he's trying to get them to do church and to be church in the way of forgiveness, right? In the way of reconciliation, something that the church always needs to be better at and always needs to be about. And so the forgiveness that Paul himself has granted against any opponents, he did it, Paul says, de humas, on account of you, plural, right? Not just that one person. This next phrase is a little unusual, literally, in the face of Christ. The normal suggestion, it means in the presence of Christ or something like that. And I did this lest we be, outwitted or defrauded by Satan. If Satan can't, how would I say this? If he can't get the church to leave the doctrine of Christ, he'll get the church to be mean-spirited about it. See? And that, in some ways, is... Well, it's hard to say. We probably shouldn't even say which is the greater danger, right? So if you're preserved in the true teaching of Christ, Satan will try to make you arrogant about that. So... And at a residential seminary, that's probably a good warning, right? lest we be outwitted in our dealings even with one another, right? So, okay, I think we'll maybe end here a little bit early because people have class, and as a matter of fact, so do I. So thank you very much. Good start to Greek Club.